a very pleasant good afternoon, and we are glad to be able to be of your service. We're going to go to the Bible for all the answers today, May the 3rd, 2015, and so we are glad to be able to be live on the radio for your questions, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. You set the topic, you set the theme, but it is God that gives the answer. We're going to go to book, chapter, and verse and direct you right to the right place so that you can see what God has to say on all of those questions that you have concerning life and godliness. And the reason is 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 says that through the knowledge of Him that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Therefore, we can find all those answers directly in the Bible. So please, go ahead and get your Bible, pencil, paper, ready to write down the answers, write down the location, the address in God's Word, so that you can study these things out and see for yourself what God has to say concerning the question on your heart and mind. So let's go ahead and get right on into God's Word, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions on your heart. There is one line available. That is 308-9564. That is available. Go ahead and call right now, and we will be able to get to you as soon as the first caller hangs up. So go ahead and call 308-9564. You can go live on the air. The only thing that we ask, if you want to go live, is we need to know your name, and you need to be ready to immediately turn your radio down when we start talking back and forth. That way there's no confusing echo and causing distraction. And so please be ready to do that. Again, that number is 308-9564. You don't have to go live. You can have your question written down and brought in to us, and we'll be glad to answer it that way as well. Or if you'd rather, you can just text us with your number, with your question, as somebody just did. And so that number is 725-9283. All of the questions are dealing with what God has to say. So please, don't miss out on this. Let us go to the Bible for the answers on your mind. There was one caller that just called, and we were not able to get to you in time, so go ahead and redial, and you'll be able to get back through 308-9564. That's the number. And if that happens to someone else during the broadcast, just hang up and then hit redial, and you'll eventually get through to us. 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak.
Yes, this is not a pre-recorded program. This is live. And so sometimes things like that happen. A call gets dropped, and sometimes we just have things, little mistakes like that happen. And so we want you to be patient with us. We will seek to be patient with you as well as we seek to do something that the Bible calls sowing the seed of the Word. So Jesus taught a parable about the parable of the sower, and the seed was sown, and it fell on different soils representing different hearts. Our prayer today is that you will have a heart that will take the Word of God into your lives, and that you will meditate upon it, you will think about it, you'll let it run throughout your heart so that you will obey the Lord and be His child and bring fruit to Him. There's all kinds of things that can get in people's ways. Time, we're just too busy, and we can have our pleasures, our riches, our things that we're chasing after that have to do with this world, and that will get in your way. If you want to bear fruit to God, you'll have to eliminate those things and do what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. So we're interested in connecting with people who are just like that, who want to be able to do what the Lord says, want to know what the Lord says. And we'd be glad to share with you what He does say as we study together from God's Word. Give us a call at 308-9564 or text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to our questions.
To your questions, that is. We're going to go to the Bible and let God give the answer. Again, that number is 308-9564. We have this caller texting in a question from the last three digits 908. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for texting in your question. This is an awesome question, and I'm glad you ask it, because this is something that is not taught most of the time. This is one of those things where the most religious groups today do not teach what God's Word has to say on this. Okay, you're wondering now, what is that question that they ask? Here it is. They ask, what does the Bible say about water baptism? Is it sprinkling or is it immersion? Well, a very, very good question. Well, first of all, let's notice what the Bible says, and then we'll even define the term that will make it even clearer. The first passage I'm going to is Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12. It speaks of a thing or practice that was done throughout the Old Testament about circumcision, how that men were to be circumcised on the eighth day. And he says, in him, that is, in Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by the putting on of the body, putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and being dead to your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's, again, Colossians 2, verses 11 through 13. Right in the middle of these verses is the word buried. So that gives the answer of what kind of baptism this is. It is a burial. Then also there's Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, where God says, buried with him, wherein we will also raise with him in newness of life. Romans 6 and verse 4, therefore we are buried with him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So there it is again. Now, even if the word burial was not used there, we would understand the truth if you just look at the word baptism. It is actually a Greek word. If we were to translate that into English, that would be immersion. So we see that it was immersion. Whenever the Bible uses the word baptism, it is always talking about being immersed in something, whether it's the Holy Spirit or, in this case, it is water. But I do want you to pay attention to the Colossians passage. It uses it in the form of a covenant where they entered the covenant as a physical circumcision in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it is entering into a spiritual covenant with God, and that's where it all begins. That's where we're made alive to walk in newness of life. Thank you so much for your question. You're to be commended for asking such a question as that, because many people no doubt have that same question. Thank you again, and thank you for texting your question. Again, that was Colossians 2, 11 through 13, and Romans 6. Matter of fact, just read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 6. There is a lot there that you will be blessed with. Again, the number is 308-9564. That is the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Already this afternoon, in fact, before we even really got on the air, our phone was ringing and the texts have coming in. So we appreciate so much your readiness to participate in our program. As was said earlier, this is your program in many ways. Your questions are those that drive the path that the topic takes, the discussion takes. And so we want to encourage you to participate in all ways. If you choose not to call or text in, we still ask that you participate simply by listening, by having your Bible open, by turning to the verses and making sure that that's what the Bible says. There's this great example in Acts 17 about the noble Bereans who searched the Scriptures daily to see whether or not those things were so. Of course, the person they were listening to was Paul, the apostle, and they were making sure that what he was saying was from the Word of God, and we would want you to do the same thing for us. We have a question here with Daryl, and Daryl says, how should we take communion and how often? An appropriate question for this particular Sunday. A lot of churches call this Communion Sunday, and they call it that because they take it once a month. But let's take the first part of this question. How should we take communion? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul instructs the church at Corinth, who had gotten off base and they had started to partake in such a way that it was not observing the Lord's Supper. And so what Paul did and what we should always do when we get off track and are doing something, observing something in an incorrect way, we need to go back to the original source, the original teaching, and to correct what we are doing incorrectly. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you can read in 20, starting verse 20, where he says, "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you." And then he corrects their misuse of the Lord's Supper by restating what the Lord said to the 12 apostles in that upper room in Matthew's account and Luke's account. Luke 22 is one of those accounts. And here's what Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So that's the first thing we want to note about how to take communion. We take it in remembrance of him, not like those at Corinth who were just using it as an excuse to feed themselves. Then in verse 25, "In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" Then verse 26, he adds something else. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So it's a proclamation of the Lord's death, and it is to be done till he comes again. So we also are speaking of or believing in, thinking of the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 27 continues, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So in those verses, we find the fact that we're not to do it in an unworthy manner. We are also to examine ourselves. So that's the part of how we take it. And you want to do the how often part since I've gone over on my time.
Okay. Well, we try to keep our answers short so that you don't lose interest quickly, as in our day of modern media. We're going to come back to this question in just a moment after our break. After our break, we'll answer what the Bible says about how often we're supposed to partake of the Lord's Supper as well. We also have a question standing by from Nathan about the kingdom of God, and so we're going to answer that coming up as well. So stay tuned. We're going to take our first break. As we go to break, we want you to know what we're offering is free. Put away your checkbooks. Put away your tithes and offerings. Please do not send them to us. Rather, let us send you the blessings that will never be taken away, God's blessings of eternal life. Let us share with you the wealth that comes only from God and His Word. And so please take the opportunity, if you've never received the Bible Correspondence Course, don't miss out on this. And here's the details on it. We're also looking forward to your questions. If you have a question, call right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We appreciate so much you being with us today and for the interest you have already shown in this program by your questions, and we elicit any and all questions that you might have concerning the things of God's Word. What an important thing to do on any day, and particularly this day, as we have the opportunity with this program. From 1:30 to 3, we're here, we're live, and we are answering your questions. We are searching the Scriptures. We are trying to find answers for you that are from God's Word. So give us a call at 308-9564. You can also text us at 725 9283. And your question will go right to us on the air here or on the phone or the text, and we will open the scriptures and we will seek to find out what they are. We were just in the middle of a question that Daryl had concerning communion. We answered the first part of that before the break about how one takes communion. If you recall, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. And so you might want to write that down and have an opportunity to review that yourself at a later time. The second part of his question is, how often? And Ricky, how often should we take the
communion? Well, that's probably one of the things that most churches today do ignore in God's Word. And the reason is it takes two steps to figure out the answer. It's not just a quick thou shalt not in the Scriptures. And the reason for that, if you look at verse 1 of that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, "Be followers of me just as I am also of Christ." He also says that, and by the way, would that be considered a command or a suggestion? Right, that would be a command when he says, "Be followers of me as I am also of Christ." Same thing in Philippians 3 and verse 17, where he said, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for an example." That sounds like a command too, doesn't it? Well, that's not the only times. Chapter 4, verse 9. "The things that you've learned, received, heard, saw in me, these do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So not once, but three times we see Paul say, "Do as I do, follow my example, follow those who follow my example." Now, let's go see what the answer to that question is. When you look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says, "On the first day of the week," it didn't say year, didn't say month, "first day of the week," that's every 7 days, "let each one of you," excuse me, I'm combining that with the other passage, the disciples came together to break bread. There's another passage that uses that same phrase. Let me just read it from the page. "Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread," Paul was there. It says, "Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them, continued his message till midnight." So therefore, we see their example was they came together to break bread. So let's go and do it God's way, not the way man has come up with. And by the way, what's our caller's name?
Daryl.
Daryl. Daryl, thank you for your question. We sure appreciate this. Daryl, we are thankful that you are asking this, because here's what's happened. Churches today have diminished. Almost some of them have just nullified or do not commune with the Lord at all. Yet they never fail to take up a collection. They never fail to pass the plate. Matter of fact, we've heard of some cases in this town where they pass it two or three times, even lock the doors till they get sufficient money out of the pockets of the people. Where in the world do you see that in the Bible? Right, you don't. It's not there. Jesus nor the apostles ever asked for handouts, nor should we. They never told people, you know, that you've got to give X amount of dollars. Neither should we. Let's make certain that we only do what God says. Concerning the collection for the saints or collection, the instructions on that are given in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, and the same parameter, first day of the week, is used. Now, Steve, if both verses talk about first day of the week, then both of them should be done the same way. Is that correct?
That makes sense to me. I don't know how else to understand that.
Yeah,
here's
yeah.
another thought, too.
Mm-hmm.
Why do churches take communion on Sunday? Why do they pick that day? Because of Acts 20, verse 7. Because 1 Corinthians 11 doesn't tell you what day. It just says as long as you partake of it.
Right, right.
And so if the day, we get that authority from the day from Acts 20, then it was on the first day of the week. And or it didn't say first of the month, first of the year.
But yeah.
It's a long way to understand that. It's kind of like the Jews understood the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
Every Sabbath, every first day of the week.
But it's got to be some motive behind it. You know, why would they diminish on communing with the Lord, which is far more reverent and concerning this than the contribution? So why would they diminish that and increase the contribution? What would be the motives behind it? Yeah. I'm not going to say, but I think the radio audience just figured that out. I heard a bell go off in somebody's mind, and therefore they just figured it out. When we look and see, this is so special to be able to commune with the Lord. Oh, that's special. So thank you. We sure do appreciate your question very much, and you're to be commended for asking that. Again, if you have a question, the lines are now available, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. We have a question about the kingdom, and I hope everybody has a pencil and paper handy to answer. I'm going to give you a list of verses, and I want you to read them as well, because a lot of people have this question. Nathan calls in this question. He says, at the end of the Our Father prayer, can you explain what it means about the end of time? Well, Nathan, it's not talking about the end of time. It says, thy kingdom come. And so when we look and think about that, there are modern teachings today that man has come up with that says that is the end time. Well, that's not what Jesus said. Matter of fact, in Mark, here we go, write these down. Mark 9:1, Jesus said, verily, some of you that stand here shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. In Luke 17:20-21, they ask about the kingdom of God coming with observation. And his answer was,
my kingdom is not of this. Oh, the kingdom of God is within you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the kingdom of God is within you.
Yeah, my passage is mixed up.
Yeah, and he says that it comes not with observation. But now he's also, when asked about the kingdom in John 18:36, Jesus responded when he says, are you a king? And his answer was,
yes, I am a king, and my kingdom is not of this world. If so, my soldiers would fight for it.
Yeah. Then in Acts chapter 2, it pictures Jesus sitting on a throne. Ladies and gentlemen, who sits on a throne? It's a king. Well, Paul himself said that he had left the power of darkness, been translated out of the power of darkness, into the kingdom of his dear son. So Paul was in the kingdom. Hebrews 12:28 says, we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. And even John on the island of Patmos said that he was in the kingdom of God in Revelation 1:9. Here they are again. Mark 9:1, Luke 17:20-21, John 18:36, the whole chapter sermon of Acts chapter 2, Colossians 1:13, Hebrews 12:28, and Revelation 1:9. So, Nathan, the answer to the question is, the kingdom did come, just like he prayed in that example prayer for us. And when we become one of his children, we are part of that kingdom of Christ. It's time for us to take a break.
Just one quick thing.
Sure.
And when the Lord comes again, 1 Corinthians 15:24 says he'll come, take the kingdom back to the Father.
There you go. So there, it's got to be here before he can take it back. So that's exactly right. Thank you so much, Nathan, for reminding us about the kingdom of God. And unfortunately, there's a lot of wrong things taught on that subject as well. It's time for us to take another break. We want you to know this correspondence course that we're telling you about is free. If you've never received it, please do not end the day without enrolling in this. You can study it at your own convenience. If you're a night owl, then you can study it in the night. If you are brightest in the morning, give God your best time. And you can take this out and study it and look it up in the God's Word at the right time that you can concentrate the most. You want to give God the best of your time and energy, and so you can do that with this correspondence course. And by the way, if you do it, you'll learn 10 times more than listening to us on the radio. So let us send it to you absolutely free. Here's the number to get it. 553-5157. You can call right now, enroll in this course. It'll be in the mail this week to you. It is our honor to share with you the riches in God's Word. So don't miss out on this. You may discover truth that you have never seen before. And some of this truth that is missing from what we see, many churches are keeping people in their sin. We don't want to stay there, do we? We want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. How can we be faithful if we do not know what God expects of us? So go ahead and call right now, 553-5157, to get this course on its way to you right away. The Bible Correspondence course is absolutely free. Here's more details on that. If you already have the course, continue with your questions. 308-9564. That's the voice line. The lines are available. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right.
We're so grateful for you joining us this afternoon. And as you just heard, we have talked to you about a Bible correspondence course that is free. And we want so desperately to help you know what God's Word is that we want to give it to you free of charge. That's why it's free. It's free because we really want people to know what God's Word teaches. And so, as you have heard that number, 553-5157, give that number a call. There will be an answering machine where you can leave your name, your address, and we can send you a Bible correspondence course yet this week. Now, some of you who have taken that course, and maybe you've mislaid it somewhere. Maybe you moved after the time you got it. I've talked to several people on the phone. That's exactly what happened to them. And so, for whatever reason, they didn't call back and say, you know, I lost that. Could you send me another one? If that's happened to you, then, boy, we would love for you to call us back and say, you know, I mislaid that. Could you send me another one? And you know what? We'll do that. We'll do that for you. We'll do that because we know how that happens. We lose stuff on our own desks.
You don't do that.
This is confession time. Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
I thought
I was the only one that did that.
I will lose stuff in my desk, and I have to dig under the pile, and then I find, oh, I found it. I tell you, that's really embarrassing when it's a bill. But if you've lost that course, then you just let us know about that, and we'll be glad to replace that. So please join us here live. You can speak over the airwaves, or you can call us and just give your question to the person who answers the phone, and that number is 308-9564. Or you can always text us, and you don't have to wait for an open line for that at all. And that number is 725-9283. So many things that you can take advantage of today concerning God's Word, God's treasures, God's spiritual gifts that He would love for you to have, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Does that interest you? The salvation that comes from learning from the Scriptures, does that interest you? So there's a lot to be gained, a lot of blessings to be gained from God's Word if you will avail yourself the time and the opportunity to do that. And so join us here on the program, 308-9564, or text us 725-9283, and we will see what the Bible says.
By the way, we haven't told you about our website, which is at www.BibleAlone.com. You can go there at any time and download materials absolutely free. These are materials that are often come up on the radio program. For example, The Kingdom, I just went and looked, and I thought I had uploaded those verses I mentioned earlier to our website, but I'm going to try to take care of that as soon as I can. And we will, that way you can download those verses as well. There are many other frequent question Bible study materials on our website. So go there and download everything that's on there. You're welcome to it. We are thrilled to be able to share with you the riches of God's Word as you seek after Him and wanting to go to heaven. Again, that website is www.BibleAlone.com. Now, matter of fact, you can listen to the radio program anywhere in the world. So if you have a friend or relative in another part of the world, let them know about this as well. And they can tune in anywhere in the world. And there is a way to tune in anywhere as well. If you have a smartphone, you can download an app called TuneIn Radio, search for the radio program anywhere in the world and be able to listen to this program absolutely free. There's no charge for anything that we have or offer at all. So don't miss out on that. Again, that Bible correspondence course we mentioned earlier, you will be able to study that anytime you wish, and you will be able to discover things in God's Word that you've never seen before. Steve, how many times have you been to a Bible study with someone and they said, you know, I've never seen that before?
Just about everyone.
Yes. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we study with preachers. We study with pastors. We study with people that are just beginning their walk with the Lord or those that are just starting to search. And many of the Bible proficiatos, those that's supposed to know it, been through seminary school, it's amazing that we even hear them say, you know, I've never seen that before. Heard people that read through the Bible year after year, and then all of a sudden they say, I've never seen that before. Ladies and gentlemen, ignorance will not excuse us on the judgment day. If we don't know what God expects of us, how in the world can we obey Him? And if we can't obey Him, how can we really love Him? Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Wow. Isn't that a concept? No, that's what Jesus says. That's John 14 and verse 15. And also 1 John 5 and verse 3 says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So we've got to do what He says, and that's the only way that we can know is if we study these things for ourselves. So don't miss out on this correspondence course. Go ahead and enroll right now at 553-5157. And get that course on its way to you right away. We have a question coming up that Steve and I both can work on here. And that question is from the last three digits of 113, a text question. They want to know, give examples of fruit bearing required of a Christian. Now, let me kick it off with a couple of verses. And Steve, if you can join in as well. First of all, that is very important. Even John the Baptist told the people that came to him, said, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. We've got to show our repentance to God by a changed life, and it will be very evident that that's the case. Also, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus brings out, you shall know them by their fruit, and thus we are supposed to judge ourselves and judge others. We're to examine ourselves, 2 Corinthians 13. And so those are several things that will show that fruit bearing. And so, Steve, you have some more on this. And the question, again, is give examples of fruit bearing that are required for a Christian.
Well, interestingly enough, we started talking about the parable of the sower. We were here sowing the seed. And it's interesting in the parable of the sower, it talks about different kinds of people and of the four types of soil, hearts, that we're in the parable, only one brought forth fruit. And some of the things that get in our way of producing fruit is, of course, other challenges. I want to pick up here in verse 14 of Luke chapter 8. We're in the middle of the explanation of the parable of the sower. And Jesus says, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Some translations say perfection or completeness. Then verse 15 says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, and notice this, with a noble and good heart, keep it, and bear fruit with patience. So, we know from other passages how that process works. Galatians 5, for instance, 21 through 23, mm-hmm. talks about this idea of bearing it with patience and even specifies certain kinds of fruit, love, joy, patience, brotherly kindness, etc.
Yeah, nine things there he mentions. And also I would encourage you to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, where there again it gives us a list of things to diligently add to our faith, which is virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity or love. And if we add these things diligently and abound in these, we'll never fall. And so certainly those are things that we should try to bear fruit in our lives. Notice he didn't say climb the highest mountain. Notice he didn't say he that gives the most money to the preacher. Notice he didn't say the he that gets perfect attendance. Notice he didn't say There's a whole lot of things that churches will teach you today that just aren't in the Bible. No, God wants us to know Him and to abound to in love toward Him. Matter of fact, Steve this morning talked about what love looks like. What does it look like? And what does this fruit look like? That's the very first thing in that Galatians 5, love. What does it look like today? Well, if we love God, we're going to keep His commandments, and we're going to want to know what He expects of us. So thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate that. Again, those verses, Matthew 3, 8, Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 7, the teens in that chapter, Galatians 5, verse 21 through 23, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Steve?
You know, it's interesting that God has always required and expected fruit from His people. That was even true in the Old Testament. Isaiah's prophecy, for instance, talks about God expecting fruit from His people. And Jesus says the same thing in John chapter 15 about what He thinks about the importance of fruit. Verse 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And so that, again, is the importance of bearing fruit. God expects it because, as Hebrews chapter 6 says, God has made an investment. He has watered us. He has had His Son to shine upon us, and so He does not want us to bring forth thorns, but to bring forth fruit to Him for His glory and for our good. And so those are some important things to consider about being a Christian, that God wants not us to be nice people. He wants us to be changed people. He wants us to be those that are benefiting our society and benefiting the church by growth, and that growth is seen and demonstrated by the bearing of fruit. We're about up to break. You got something quick, Ricky?
Yes, I wanted to remind everyone that this is a live broadcast, and being that this is the first Sunday, if you do not hurry and get your question in now, most likely they're going to pile up at the end of the broadcast, so don't miss out on getting your question in right now. There's one line available. No, both lines are available right now, so that's 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Again, we're about to take this break to encourage you to enroll in the correspondence course. We'll be glad to send it to you. We don't sell your phone number. We do not sell your information at all. This is only between us, and we are just here to serve you, to make certain that you get to know the truth, and the truth will set you free if you not only get to know it, but become doers of the truth, and not hearers only, and then the Lord Himself will be able to make you into what He wants you to be. Ladies and gentlemen, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, 14, it brings out very clearly that this is the whole of man. So if you feel something is missing in your life, that may be true, because God wants us to be able to have an awesome respect, to fear God, and keep His commandments. For this is man's all. So if there's something missing in your life, most likely it is what God alone can add to your life. So don't miss out in learning the truth, learning how to obey His commandments. Here's the information on that. While we are at break, you can continue with your questions at 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for having you back with us, and we are grateful to be here. All things that we're able to do is because of God's grace and His mercy, and we realize that every single day that we're alive, and our heart overflows with gratitude because of all the things that He has given to us, just poured upon us all these blessings. And the most important ones, of course, are the spiritual ones that we have in Christ Jesus. And all spiritual blessings are given to us. All things that pertain to life and godliness are provided for us through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're here today to encourage you in the things of God, to encourage you in a study of God's Word, that you can be built up in the faith. You may be new to the program. Maybe someone has told you about it. This is a kind of a novel program in that we elicit questions from you that are from the Bible, and then we turn to the Bible and we read it together, and we just search and seek the Scriptures to see what it really says. And so we're grateful for the opportunity to do that. Participate with us, won't you? 308-9564 is the voice line, and the text line is 725-9283. Give us your questions, and we'll just see what the Bible says about that.
And we got a couple of questions online here ready to answer. But one more urging, if you have any interest in studying the Bible for yourself, to be able to see the answers directly in God's Word, where you're not pressured by a radio program or a preacher or even a Bible class, why not get the Bible Correspondence Course coming to you absolutely free? If you call 553-5157, the first course will be sent out in the mail this week. You'll get that in the mail. You study it. You fill it out. Send it back to us. We'll grade it and then return it back to you with the next two lessons, in which you will take that and you will be able to continue your study on through the course. And then there are other courses back to back. We'll go. There have been some that have taken over 20 courses of study in the study with us back and forth. And so please don't miss out on learning what God says on how to live and the answers to life and godliness. Call 553-5157, and we never ask for a donation. We actually urge you, put away your checkbook, put away your wallet. Do not send us your contribution. No, let us send you the treasure that will never be taken away. God's Word put in your heart. Most churches today are restricted from telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Isn't it time that we have our eyes open to it? One more time, be sure to call and get this course on its way to you at 553-5157. We have a caller listening up in Columbia, and they want to know this question. Here's the statement and then the question. It says, my friend got married in December. The preacher told them that they needed to go ahead and get married so they would not be living in sin. Sadly to say, they are now separated. What does the Bible say about this? Well, the Bible says this. Matthew chapter 19, talking about marriage. Jesus goes all the way back to the beginning when God instituted marriage. When they ask him about marriage, he said, have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave father and mother, number one, be joined to the wife, number two, and the two shall become one flesh, number three. So then they are no longer two, but one. And then he adds this, therefore what God hath joined together, let no man separate. That means not the husband, not the wife, not the one that is breaking the marriage up. No one is to separate that. They are husband and wife. They better learn how to live together. I have known some of the most vicious people, husbands and wife, that remain married. Oh, they may not be happy as husband and wife, but they are keeping their vow that they made as husband and wife, and they've been married for over 50 years. Have there been many happy days? Yeah, there's been happy days. Have there been many brawls? Oh, yeah. I've seen some of them. But when each husband and wife, no matter how different they are, when they just take God's lead on how to be husband and wife, starting with 1 Corinthians 13, also using this from Genesis chapter 2 and Matthew 19, knowing, hey, there is no option. There is no such thing as breakup. That means we've got to work this thing through. And then when we do, knowing that divorce is not an option, no, 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 that we should never enter into thinking that there is a way out. It is a matter of just working it out. And when you do, hey, both of you grow in appreciation for each other because both of you are yielding to our Creator's instructions. And thus, you're able to continue to work things through. And ladies and gentlemen, while I'm on this subject, let me just let you know, within the first year of my marriage, I'm speaking personally, either I or my wife would have died. Yes, one of us would have killed the other. That's what I'm saying. Had we not had God's word to direct us on how to behave and how to make our marriage work. So again, the truth is, God's word provides us with everything that pertains to life and godliness. So that's why it is so important that we just let Him be the one that's directing us all. And so that way we can be the kind of family, the kind of husband and wife that we were intended to be. Now, I know that's probably kind of shocking to many of y'all, especially when you find out I've been married 41 years. We're more madly in love now than we've ever been. However, the one that gets all the credit is God when we just simply followed His instructions. So, caller, what that person needs is they need to find what God says on how to behave as husband and wife. Again, the number is 308-9564. That is the voice line, 308-9564. Both lines are available. Hurry, get your question in now before the lines fill up and the questions pile up. The text line is 725-9283. Steve?
We have a question from Joe. And, Joe, I really appreciate this question. It shows you've been thinking about the Scriptures and thinking about applying the Scriptures. Your question is, will we go to heaven if we continue to follow restricted doctrines? Now, those of you who may not recognize the restricted doctrine, that has reference to false teaching, doctrine that is restricted from obeying the Word of God freely and completely because of certain creed books and things of that sort that just don't teach the whole truth. So, what about those kinds of things? What about people who would place restrictions on the Word of God? What about people who do not teach the complete and full Word of God? Three passages I'd like for y'all to write down. Matthew 7 is one of those. Verse 21, out of the mouth of Jesus, He says, not everyone, this is verse 21, Matthew 7, not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father in heaven. Where do we find that? In the Scriptures. Not in creed books, not in restricted doctrines, not in denominational guidelines, but the will of His Father. And then He gives us an illustration of what might happen, what will happen in the judgment day. He said, many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name and cast out demons in Your name and done many wonders in Your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from Me who practice lawlessness. Now, that's shocking to a lot of people, but Jesus just says that there will be some people who are going to be surprised come Judgment Day because they did not stick to the will of the Father. The second passage is in Matthew chapter 15, where the apostles are eating without washing their hands. And the Pharisees and scribes are startled by that, and they just ask in verse 3, verse 2, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. That's an example of a restrictive doctrine, a restricted doctrine that existed in the days of Jesus that the Jews had done with the law of Moses. Well, listen to this question as Jesus responds in verse 3. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? So we have the restricted doctrine versus the will of the Father that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 7. Now, verse 8 and 9, by Isaiah's prophecy, mentions to them that these people draw nigh to Me with their mouth and honor Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. In vain they worship Me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. Now, as Jesus said that and goes away from the multitude, the disciples come to Him and say in verse 12, do you know the disciples were offended when they heard this saying? And notice what Jesus says in verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. Jesus plainly says that every religious body out there is not the result of the planting of Jesus, not the result of the planting of the Father. They will be uprooted. And then one more passage, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, if we have time. I'm a little over on that. Where Paul tells the Galatians that he marvels that they are so quickly removed from him who called them by his gospel. And he goes on to say that there are people who pervert the gospel, and anyone who perverts the gospel, that person is going to be accursed. So again, if one is teaching restricted doctrine, can that person go to heaven? Not according to these verses, not according to Jesus, and not according to Paul. So appreciate so much, Joe, that question shows you've been thinking about applying the Word of God to your life. We appreciate that so much. Give us a call here, 308-9564, or text us at 725-9283.
The lines are available, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions on your mind. We have Linda calling in this question, three questions, actually. Was Jesus and Mary Magdalene married? No. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that. You have to look for heretical writing of man to be able to even insinuate such as that. And there's nothing about that in God's Word. Secondly, when Jesus turned water into wine, was it for his wedding? Again, no. There's nothing in the Bible that suggested that as well. He's nowhere called the groom there in that wedding. Later in Ephesians chapter 5, he's depicted as the groom to his bride being the church. And so he is married to us, or we get to be married to him as his church, his bride adorned in white apparel that will be presented to him on the day of judgment. But that is about as close as you can get to him being married to anything or anyone, and that would be he's married to his church, his people. And that's in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through the end of the chapter. Third question is, was Mary Magdalene Mary's daughter-in-law? And again, no, there's nothing to suggest that. As a couple of verses of Scripture, in Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 2, it says, and a certain woman who had been healed of seven evil spirits, infirmities, Mary Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. And so there she is described that way. And then in Mark chapter 16, we see her also referred to that way in verse 9, Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, where it says, and when he had rose on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told told those who had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, well, they didn't believe her. And so, of course, he was alive from the dead. And so she was given the privilege of being able to go and tell them that, even though they didn't believe her. So, Linda, no, you're getting that information from someone that actually is seeking after an anti-God agenda. And so please, please do not continue in such a path as that. Let's just stick with the Bible. Let's let the Bible speak. Let's let it speak alone and not start inserting things, especially that would insult God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit and do great damage to your soul. God is going to have the final word, and we better stick with his word to find out the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Thank you, Linda. We sure appreciate your question so very much. Time for us to, we're over time, aren't we? It's time for us to take a break. As we go to break, please know this is the last 30 minutes of the program, last 25 minutes. Don't miss out on getting the correspondence course to you. It is free. Here's the information on it. Continue with your questions, 308-9564. That's the voice line. Both lines are available. Go ahead right now. Call in your question, and we will let the Bible speak. It's time for us to be back, and so we're glad that you're able to be with us. We hope and pray that the things that we are saying today are of some blessing to you. We are thrilled to be able to be of service to you. Please note that you can call the radio station right now, 308-9564. Both lines are available. You can call in your question, have it written down and brought into us, or you can go live over the air. The only thing we ask if you go live over the air is to be ready to give us your name and also be ready to turn your radio down so that we might be able to address your question without any confusing echo. So, again, that number is 308-9564, and you can ask your question for today's broadcast. This is a live broadcast. And if you'd rather just text us with your cell phone, you can do that with 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your heart and mind as we go to the Word of God.
Hope here asks a question about children. If all children go to heaven, then why does God take some children? I'm assuming by that word take, she means why do children die? Well, Jesus talks about children and the importance of children, and it's interesting because this is in a context where his apostles seemingly indicate that they're not thinking too highly of children. Well, this is one of the contexts. The one I'm going to read here in Matthew 18 is a little different from that. But verse 1 says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You may recall that that was kind of a ongoing argument among the 12 apostles as to who would be the greatest. And so they just asked Jesus, who then is the greatest? In verse 2, Jesus wisely says, he calls the child and puts him in the midst of them and says, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. We can tell from that passage that Jesus thought highly of children. In fact, so highly that he says that we need to be like them in humility. And so children, because they have not sinned, I mean, we're talking about little children, they don't inherit sin. Sin is an action of rebellion that people act out against God. And Ezekiel 18 says, in several places in that chapter, the soul that sins, it shall die. So there is a comfort when a small child dies. We have, in our family, and my wife and I have lost a child, and our concern about that child is that she is in heaven. And there's another side to that. That child is never going to experience the horrors of this world and the horrors of sin. I like to think that these children, before they are sinful and they die, that God just has around him a lot of children, and they are with him in heaven, and that's a great comfort to anybody who has lost an infant, a small child. And so, Hope, we appreciate your question, and we need to obviously always think about and be thankful for the grace and the mercy of God and how the Father and the Son felt about children. And what we need to take home from that is that we need to be humble as little children, and we need to be humble especially when we hear the Word of God and to hide it in our hearts, as James says in James chapter 1. Ricky, do you have any?
Yes, we appreciate your question so very much, and thank you for your participation in today's broadcast. I just noticed that a couple of you enrolled in the Bible Correspondence course from that you live in Mount Pleasant. And that made me remember how we are looking for a place to meet you in person. We're looking for some kind of meeting room that will hold anywhere from 15 to 25 people. And we have not been able to find something that is just reasonable at all as far as the cost involved in that for a Friday evening and a Saturday evening. And so if you live there and you happen to know of a meeting room that we could use or that we could rent, we would certainly appreciate that very much. And so being that a couple of you from Mount Pleasant have enrolled in the course, call the 553-515 number and tell us about that, and we will call you back and go and check this out to where that to see if we can have such a meeting as that. We're wanting to do that as quick as we can, and so please don't hesitate. So go ahead and call that number, and we will follow up by a call back to you, and we'll check those resources out that you share with us. Again, the number to call to let us know about that meeting room is 553-5157, and we'll have a Let the Bible Speak session right there in the Mount Pleasant, Hoogee, that area over there on the other side of the water. And so please don't miss out. Please help us in that if you don't mind. We're looking for that place to be able to meet you in person, 553-5157. And just ask and say, I've got a resource. Call me and give us your phone number, and we'll call you back. We thank you so much for your help in that. We have David calling in this question. His question is, he wants to know, when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, he wants to know, what does the last part of that mean? And so what's the last part of that verse? Well, that's a good question, David. And believe it or not, it was a new Christian, a brand new Christian, that taught me this. I had it wrong for years. In the context of the passage, you see that in Matthew chapter 6, and beginning with verse 19 all the way through the end of the chapter, you see how that he was concerned with, in this part of his sermon, concerned with people that were getting anxious about life's necessities. And when you see what the necessities he was talking about, it was, for example, when you look at the passage again, what you shall eat or what you shall put on. And he goes on to say that we should not worry about those things because that's something that the Gentiles worry about. For verse 32, for after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, that is food and clothing. Food and clothing, that's what's being addressed in the whole chapter. Notice he doesn't even say roof over our heads or a house. He doesn't say food, clothing, and shelter. He says food and clothing. So then he promises. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and seek first his righteousness, and all these things, food and clothing, shall be added to you. So God promises us if we are seeking him first, we're seeking his righteousness, then we will have food and clothing. That's a promise from God. Now, the problem is, are we really seeking him first? Are we really seeking his righteousness? Is that what we're wanting to be? Is that what we're wanting to be doing? Being righteous and following in his footsteps? Well, if we are, well, God promises us we're going to have food, we're going to have clothing. He doesn't even promise us a roof over our heads. But he does promise food and clothing. So God promised it, and he's never let us down. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we live so far above that here in the United States, it's not even funny. We tend to think everything is a need. I've got to have the finest car. I've got to have a dishwasher. I've got to have, you know, a garbage disposal. It's a need. And we get all out of sorts about these things. We start blaming God and shaking our finger at him, saying, God, how come I'm suffering so much with these things? Do we have food? Do we have clothing? Well, yeah. Well, then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, 7, and 8 says, having food and raiment, let us be content. Yeah, you've heard that verse before, but you don't normally want to apply it, do we? Mm-mm. No, that makes us a little uncomfortable there. That's what we should be content with. And yet, we would shake our finger at God or call God into question because we don't have some of these luxuries. Who do we think we are? Well, God's going to tell us exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our last break. As we go to break, please know that we are serious when we talk about this course being free. You will learn things in it and from the study of God's Word that you've never seen before. Don't allow yourself to continue to be blinded by the restrictive doctrines of man. Most churches are restricted from telling you the whole truth. So let's go to the Bible to find the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Let's remove the blinders from our eyes that the wicked one has put there. Let us see the truth for ourselves and not take anybody's word for it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Go ahead and get this course on its way to you. 553-5157. We'll be right back.
We are grateful to be with you continuing through our radio program today. We are just at the tail end of it, but yet there's still time for you to call in your question or to text it. Those numbers again are the voice line 308-9564 or the text line is 725-9283. And don't forget that last number that we give you on the air, and that is the number for the Bible Correspondence Course, 553-5157. We've been talking about planting the seed of God's Word, as in the parable of the sower. And so you can have that planted right in your heart, in your own home, and you can receive that Word, you can nourish it, you can cherish it, you can put it in that warm heart of yours, that warm soil that we're going to be doing pretty soon with the seeds of our garden, and let the sun of God's light bring that seed to germination, and let the continued sun and water bring fruit to Him. And so avail yourself that opportunity. Give yourself the chance to know God's Word in its fullness and its wholeness. Give us a call, 308-9564. Text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions that we have on our heart. Ricky?
Yes, we have Joe calling in this question. Should every Christian, every leader of churches call themselves apostle? Joe, no, because there is only the apostle. The word apostle means one sent. That's what it means. And so the only one that can send someone that is called an apostle is Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1, we see that after Judas had gone out and hung himself, that they looked for an individual to take Judas's place. And Peter's words, he goes back and even quotes from the Old Testament, where he says, "Let his habitation be desolate, let no one live in it, and let another take his office." And he's quoting from Psalms 100 in verse 8. And so they selected one that had been a witness of his resurrection with us, and of his resurrection, walked with the Lord and been a witness of his resurrection. So Acts chapter 1, verse 22 shows that they had to be someone that had witnessed the resurrected Christ. And then throughout the rest of the New Testament, when the apostles referred to themselves, they also referred to themselves as a witness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a witness is someone that is an eyewitness. If you were at an accident scene, but you didn't see it happen, you're taking someone else's word for it, then you could not testify as a witness. You would not have seen it. And so a witness is someone that has seen the resurrected Lord. And so, no, they cannot be an apostle unless they have seen the resurrected Lord. I know there's some of them out there that say that the Lord has appeared to them too. However, that violates Acts chapter 10, verse 34, where it says, God is no respecter of persons. Also, it's in the Bible three times. We can see that. Now, there are no visual, face-to-face witnesses of our Lord. He's gone back to heaven, and now we must take His word, His entire word, in order to serve the Lord. So and then I haven't even addressed, Joe, the idea of people lifting themselves up into positions of honor. That didn't work well for Moses. It didn't work well for Herod. He was struck with worms, and it doesn't work well today. Also, I would encourage you to read Matthew 23, verse 6, 7, and 8, which ends with, "Do not call anybody with these names, for I am the Christ, and you are all brethren." We're all together. One more verse, Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, "All power, all honor is given to me in heaven and on earth." So if Jesus has got it all, yeah, we have none. So we better just let Him be the one in charge. Steve?
Yes, we have a question here from a text question. I don't know the number, Ricky. I'm about the one about long-suffering.
Yes, that's from the last number of 113.
Okay, 113. You got a great question. It talks about giving examples of long-suffering. I like that word long-suffering because it is so expressive. It means to, yes, suffer long with somebody. And so there are some examples of that in the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6, Paul talks about his suffering as an apostle of Christ. In verse 6, he says, by purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, as he lists in one of those passages that he has, and there's a couple in 2 Corinthians about the things he suffered for the cause of Christ. Now, he suffered long, that is, he didn't give up after the first time that he got in a riot or the first time he got chased out of town or even the first time that he was stoned. He kept on doing the will of God. So Paul is an example of that. In Galatians 5, all of us can bear the fruit of the Spirit, and one of those is long-suffering, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. In Ephesians 4 and verse 2, as it addresses the attitudes that are necessary for unity. In verses 4 through 6 of chapter 4, it talks about one God, one Lord, one faith, one Spirit, one hope, one baptism. Before we can have that kind of unity, we need to have a certain mindset. We need to have a certain humility. And so in verse 2 of Ephesians 4, it says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. And then there is one other example, and that is of preachers. 2 Timothy 3:10, Paul tells Timothy, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering. And if you want a good commentary on that, read 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24 through 26. We'll give you some extra information about that. But the last one that I'll give you, and really the one that really impacts us most, is God himself is long-suffering, and he is not anxious to come and catch us unprepared, but he would that all would come to repentance, and he is long-suffering in that. So appreciate so much that question about examples of long-suffering.
All right, and we have Robert calling in this question. He wants to know about 1 Corinthians 6, verses 6 through 10. Is this talking about transformation? And yes, it is, certainly, although the word transformation is not used there. If you want to find that word, you can see it in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, that we present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And thus, that is, we've got to be changed, according to verse 2, that we are to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. So that is part of it. Here in 1 Corinthians 6, it makes it very clear that they used to practice these things, but verse 11 says, but such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. Yes, they changed. They absolutely did. And that's another word for repentance. Thank you, Robert. We also have David calling in and wanting to know the answer to this. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 14, please explain this verse. Well, when you look at the chapter, you'll see the context in which that verse is around, and he's just listed out the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the various gifts that were given through the laying on of the apostles' hands. That's Acts 8:18. It says in verse 11, it says, but one, the same Spirit works in all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, that is, as God wills. So God is the one in charge of this. And then to explain it, how that the head is the one that is in control of all this, he brings out there's one body, as there's many members, and the members are one body, and the one body also is of Christ. And thus, by this one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, just whether Jew or Greek, slaves or free, we're all to drink of the one Spirit. And in fact, the body is not one member but many. So we're all in the same church, same body of Christ together. Can you squeeze that question in before the end?
I think so. Latalo asks, Enoch and Elijah did not see death. Will they see death when Jesus returns? My guess is no, because they never lived. That is, they never had to die in the first place, and they are with God in heaven.
Yeah, they seem to be already there. We want to thank everyone today for your participation. We want you to know we are committed, and we hope you are, to let the Bible speak in your life.